So, good morning, Amherst Island. So, as of this morning, on the KFLNA dashboard, there are 61 cases of COVID-19 in our region, with 56 of those having been resolved. So, our region continues to do quite well. Our hospital bed capacity in the region is somewhat reduced due to indirect COVID-related issues. For instance, LNA Hospital in Napanee is currently over capacity due to the fact that under provincial orders, any long-term care patients who are hospitalized for any reason cannot be returned to a long-term care facility. So this is creating some issues, but it's currently being looked at to see what can be done. And as of Monday, Kingston Health Sciences Center currently has 70 beds open with 27 in the ICU. So, as many of you will be aware, this week the Premier announced the initial description of Ontario's exit strategy from COVID-19. There wasn't a great deal of detail in that announcement, which came perhaps as a disappointment to many. However, there's two critical reasons for that. The first is that we're a little ways out from beginning that process in Ontario. And secondly, the specifics of any plan during this crisis are under constant revision as new information is gathered and real-time situations change daily. There are, to my mind, a few important things that we still have been able to learn by this announcement by the Premier, such as the following. The Premier made distinction between three particular phases of the exit strategy, and we can all expect this approach to be mirrored locally and regionally as public health authorities and municipal governments develop their own in-house versions. The first phase he termed protect and support, which is basically the phase that we're in. This is the phase of lockdown, of state of emergency, and other serious measures that are taken to control the spread of the virus. Phase two, he termed restart, which can be defined as the initial baby steps that will be taken to relax some restrictions, mainly those which are relevant to business and the economy. Within the restart phase, he described three sub-phases, which further spell out the gradual nature of that particular stage and what lifting of restrictions will be prioritized. And the final phase he termed recover, and this represents the time at which Ontario will arrive at what we can regard as the new normal. So as I just mentioned, we can expect some version of this three-phased approach to be developed in KFLNA, and we can expect it to become available in the near future. In broad terms, what these recent announcements identify is that we are in for a long road ahead. Now, we all knew that, but this phased approach confirms it for us in greater detail. This lockdown phase, or phase one, or the protect and support phase, to use the Premier's language, has seemed like an eternity, but it is likely to be the shortest phase in duration. Phase two, the restart phase, is where we're likely to be at for some time. One of the critical things the Premier said was that this is a roadmap and not a calendar. The phased approach should not imply certitude in our expectations. The reality is that once in phase two, we can very easily trip triggers that take us back to phase one. For instance, if we see a substantial number of new cases that cannot be traced back to known cases, or see a sustained increase in cases over a short period of time that we're calling a spike, that's the language that tends to be used, or projections of, or the realized hazard, that hospitals are over capacity and unable to safely treat all patients. Avoiding a return to phase one will be entirely dependent on the effectiveness of a strategic, slow, and measured pace at which phase two unfolds, and the continued cooperation of the general public in maintaining social distance, etc. Governments are not taking these initial steps in the dark, necessarily, but it is a path none of us have ever traveled, And so the potential is always present for two steps forward, three steps back kind of reality. The key will always be to not jeopardize the hard-won victory we achieve in gaining control of the virus. As Phase 2 unfolds, the epidemiological science will be attempting to model the effects of our actions and develop predictive markers. All of this is important to remember because there are going to be mistakes made, and there will likely be some back and forth in loosening and reintroducing restrictions. Under these conditions, it would typically be reasonable to be anxious and think that governments didn't know what they were doing. Normally, when governments make policy U-turns, for example, we tend to think it represents a weakness in leadership. Under the circumstances of COVID-19, I think we need to give our governments much wider latitude. I think we can be incredibly confident in Canada, in Ontario, and in KFLNA that our governments are receiving the best possible advice and acting on the best possible science in their decisions. That should bring us some comfort and inspire some patience, as and when we enter Phase 2 for an extended duration, a time we can expect a little bit of back and forth. Our governments have proven themselves responsible, and they would not wish to take lightly our gained control of the virus. All this is to say, the patience we've had to cultivate in Phase 1, we will need to continue to apply for an even longer period in Phase 2. The silver lining will be that in time, we can see a beginning of a return to a life beyond the hardships of our current lockdown. There are a few critical steps we need to take before entering Phase 2 in Ontario. One is seeing a decline in new cases over a longer period of time, and another is the need to greatly increase Ontario's testing capacity and the availability of personal protective equipment. Phase 3, recover, will mean the arrival at the new normal, recognizing that life cannot, will not, and in many ways should not, return to exactly the way it was before. This phase will be triggered by one of two things: either a proven therapeutic treatment with measured data that's effective at treating the virus, or the development of a vaccine that has been proven safe, effective, and cleared for use here in Canada. This is why we're a long way out from Phase 3. A vaccine is, for instance, projected to arrive sometime early next year. So friends, again, we are in this for the long game, but there is light at the end of the tunnel, and we will get there. I hope some of you were able to watch the live stream Zoom session of Council this past Monday. There were a number of things discussed, and I'd encourage folks to access the recording of the meeting from the Township's website. The only thing I would wish to mention is that Council passed a resolution to request the Ministry of Transportation to provide Loyalist Township with a report on what impact COVID-19 is having in exacerbating potential and existing delays with respect to the arrival of the new ferry, and by implied extension, the dock project itself. I've received lots of your questions and concerns about these issues, and I share your desire to have a fulsome and broad picture of where we are at, so to speak. I'm confident that will come in the coming weeks. It's important to understand that the dock project itself is not a township contract. It is a contract between Rankin Construction and the Ministry of Transportation. So although the township is necessarily involved as the operator of the ferry and docks, ultimately most of the details regarding the project are at the discretion of the MTO. Naturally, there is a lot of coordination to ensure that these projects, which involve multiple parties, go smoothly and everyone is kept in the loop. For this reason, there's a Ferry Communications Committee comprised of key township staff, as well as the mayor and myself, the councillor for Ward 1, and relevant memories of the Ministry of Transportation, of Rankin Construction, and Morrison Hirschfield. These meetings follow and develop an ongoing collective communication strategy that all parties agree on to make sure that the same consistent information gets shared so that everyone's on the same page. This strategy has worked well to date, and the committee meetings are effective as a means of addressing key questions and concerns as they arise that ultimately need to be further communicated. I want to continue to encourage residents to have confidence in this process, as it will be everyone's best and most accurate source of information on the progress of these various projects. Right now, there is a great deal of variables that make it incredibly difficult to set new dates for various delays. Our partners at the Ministry of Transportation in particular are in the process of trying to find as many answers to our questions and concerns as they can. So, as and when the information comes available, you can expect it will be communicated. I know it can be frustrating not to have immediate answers, but again, I would ask for your continued patience, as I can hearten that the appropriate people are most certainly on the case. I think that's enough for me this week. I would wish everyone a happy May Day, and wish everyone to enjoy the rest of their weekend.